7:15 Braves. We have those here tonight. We don't have them Thursday because we've got our kickoff show. Next two nights, or next at least tonight, we've got Braves tonight. Braves and Dodgers.
I would assume so. Yes.
All right. Telephone number 654-ROAR, 654-7627. One of the best questions of the day. Texter asks, who's paying for this lunacy? I don't know why.
Not me.
I don't know why. I love the word lunacy. it is very descriptive. And I have something in my head of what lunacy looks like. But who's paying for the lunacy? There's really about three kinds of people who are paying for this at three different levels. The low-level guy is scrounging up. He's a guy who's been given $10,000 to his school. He might find a way to do a business write-off somehow, some way. But he's not – he's going to give you $10,000 for NIL – he'll give you $10,000 somehow, some way to this collective to find a way to do it. And he really didn't have a ton of money to do it with, probably taking money out of stuff he should be doing with his kids in college or their inheritance kind of thing. The second one is a little bigger guy that he can't afford it, and he's so starved. This is the guy who could give you $50,000 a year, $100,000 a year. These are the ones that they've done well in life and well in business. They've inherited what it might be, but they can do it, and they give it to you. And this is like the backbone of it. This is where most of the money comes from, or the most of the boosters come from. I got a lot of friends that are doing it at Clemson or South Carolina or Georgia, Florida State, or North Carolina, and they've done very, very well for themselves. The third guy's the guy you really need, though. The third guy's the billionaire. The second guy's the millionaire. The first guy's a guy who, you know, him and his wife, they make 300 maybe, 250 between them. And they can afford to give $10,000 to the Booster Club and $10,000, you know, to your collective kind of thing. The second guy's a millionaire. The second guy's business is doing $8 million a year. He's done well for himself. He's starved, man. He's so sick of Kansas State watching other teams win the Big 12 that he's sick of it. He's starved. The third guy is what you really need, though. Because the first two guys can't do it forever. And the first two guys don't want to do it forever. The first two guys right now you're preying upon. You're saying, hey, man, if we only had this, we can do it. And you can play that for a while. But you can't go play that card year after year after year after year without some return on investment. Those guys have to have return on investment.
The first guys, they're doing it to buy into a social status.
Yeah. Well, and they're jock sniffers.
Yeah. It's a social aspect. The second grouping, they're doing it for clients, really. They see a return on investment because that type of investor, you know, if you're doing it from a business standpoint, you are getting access and being able to host clients and have box seats and things like that. The third group, they're doing it because why the hell not?
The third group's the billionaire.
Mark Cuban.
Right.
Indiana.
Yeah, the third group is, man, if you got $1 billion, then you could just throw away money and it doesn't matter. You can't spend $1 billion. You can't. You got to be a billionaire by either inheriting it or you got some sense about you. And usually if you inherit it, it's set up in some sort of trust so you can't really screw it up. Like, millionaires can go broke. And millionaires can squander and lose. There are people, there's a ton of people who were millionaires at one point in time that are worth nothing now. You can't screw up a billion. Billionaires can give you millions of dollars every year and not miss it and don't need return on investment. It's just either charitable to them or, you know, you want to be close to the program, whatever. Yeah. You get the billionaire giving you money, that gravy train, and that goes every single year, man, that's just, you can't screw that up. So those are the people that are bankrolling this lunacy, is what the texture wanted to know. To my knowledge, I don't know if Clemson or South Carolina, Georgia has the billionaires. Miami does. A&M does. Notre Dame does. But few have it. Michigan's got the billionaire. 8230 said, and in perfect South Carolina fashion, their billionaire football-loving alumni died right before NIL started. Who was that? I don't even know who that was. Clemson has one billionaire, but it's a foreign guy that I don't think's been to a football game maybe in his life. So, we'll see. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. On another subject, texted Westco Moore returning, say anything about CV, they trust him, and it says nothing about that. Oh, the owner of the Texans. Yeah. Yeah, he was a South Carolina guy. I tell you an interesting story about him. McNair. Bob McNair was his name. Wasn't it Bob McNair? An interesting story about him is when he was at college at South Carolina, while in school, he was selling vacuum cleaners, or right out of school, selling door-to-door vacuum cleaner sales guy, and ended up making it. And was a billionaire. Like, he didn't inherit his. But he did pass away in 2018. Yeah. Bob McNair. Yeah, I don't think Clemson and South Carolina don't have it. The billionaire, sports-loving billionaire. Michigan does. Well, Michigan doesn't. Michigan's got the wife, the sports-loving wife of the billionaire. Which, and again, you take the Jules Winfield advice. Just because my girlfriend's a vegetarian, which pretty much makes me a vegetarian.
Well, to a certain degree. To a certain degree.
Jules Winfield.
You got to realize that Indiana has the most alumnus Fortune 500 CEOs of any college in America. Indiana University. The opening NIL up was just, I mean, it was just a matter of time before they found somebody that could utilize that money.
Yeah.
And that's the same reason you're seeing Vanderbilt have a lot of success recently.
Yeah.
There's two ways to go about it.
What's interesting is, if you noticed, when Vanderbilt football, I mean, sorry, when Vanderbilt baseball was great because he had access to Vanderbilt and they were taking advantage of 11.7, Vanderbilt was the best baseball program in the country. Mm-hmm. They had that huge advantage. They had the stuff that everybody else had. Now that everybody has it, have you noticed that Vanderbilt hadn't been great in baseball as of late?
Very interesting.
Let me give you that before we take a break. And I'm a Tim Corbin fan. But Tim Corbin benefited, and he's a great baseball coach, but he benefited from Vanderbilt's unbelievable success. I mean, unbelievable situation on the having the extra money. He had funny money that nobody else had. And have you noticed that Vanderbilt has not made it out of a region the last 4 years? Anybody notice that? Anybody notice what Vanderbilt baseball did this past year?
Didn't they barely break 500?
Yeah. Didn't Vanderbilt baseball miss the tournament?
I'm pretty sure they missed the last two.
They made it 2 years ago, but they've not been to a super regional since 2021.
Wow.
That's 5 years.
It's incredibly long for Vandy as well.
Vandy's not been to Omaha since 2021. They did not make the NCAA tournament this past year. Vanderbilt this past year was if I can say this right here, Oh, I can't find that. Oh, they didn't update the Wikipedia page. Come on. If you update it while you're good, you got to update it while you're bad. Vanderbilt baseball was not good this year. Let's take a short break. We'll come back. Kevin in Spartanburg, hang on. I'm coming to you. Much more right after this. Kevin is in Spartanburg. Kevin, I appreciate your patience. Good morning, friend, on our Prodigy Lar phone lines. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning, man. You guys are right on spot, you know, talking about your different levels. And when NIL first started, it's the big concern I had for our two big in-state schools. You know, you talk about, you know, it's kind of a life cycle. My daughter graduated from Clemson a couple of years ago, and got a son at Carolina. And they get you into the student Gamecock Club, and they're very smart to do that because they kind of get you in that system. And then what they hope is you go out and you get a good job with that degree you've got, and then you start making more money. You raise your IPTE level, and then you buy season tickets. And then whenever you are working, have a business, that's who they call on for, hey, well, why don't you sponsor the radio? Why don't you sponsor this? Why don't you sponsor that? Yeah. And then hopefully that life cycle, as it continues, then they start making a little bit more money. And then those are the people that, and you know, we've got a business. We're on the radio with you guys. We're on the radio with Carolina. We sponsor both schools. Well, then, you know, the problem is, you get a lot of people come through, and even if they're in their businesses, well, you're in it today in the Gamecock Club, probably at a higher level than most. You got season tickets. You spend all the money it takes for hospitality and all those things that you do, you know, for your business there. And then you get reached out to about NIL and what can you give here, what can you give there. And it's like the same people,
yeah.
You know, everybody pulling from that same pot. And, you know, I think you nailed it. I was talking to a guy. I was out in Dallas last week, and talking to some other people. And there was some of our big vendors were there, and they were talking about talking about college football. And, you know, and they were talking about some things that their companies had done. Well, we don't have those people for ADs. At Clemson, the AD at Carolina, because it's going to take $6 million to get this big time quarterback in. Hey, can I count you in for $3 million? And me transfer the phone and say, hold on just a second. My secretary will have that check out to you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We don't have those people that are those big time difference makers. We got a lot of people in that life cycle of level one and two, as you called,
yeah.
And you need those people, man. You need those people, and you need. But man, we don't have those level threes around here. You agree?
I totally agree with that. Let me tell you a quick story. So the house beside me, the guy that used to own it was an engineering professor, and his old engineering boss that he had there. I don't know if it was the department head or the dean or whatever it was, left to go to A&M. And this is about 8 or 9 years ago, maybe more than that. And A&M had announced they're going to build this new engineering building. And the building was $90 million. And they started this capital campaign. And they said, all right, we want to call upon you to help this thing out. And they announced it like 8 o'clock in the morning on this Monday and said, hey, we got a new building we want to build for engineering. $90 million, make your pledges now. They had the money raised by like 3 o'clock. Like, it would take Clemson, South Carolina, Georgia, maybe North Carolina. It'd take you months to raise that kind of money, that kind of pledges. They had it that afternoon.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, you think about Clemson, you think about Carolina. I mean, we, you know, both schools send out people, and they go out and they're very successful in their careers, and they, you know, engineers and business people, other things. But it's just, you know, there's not those. You need a couple of extra zeros on the end of your income, mm-hmm. to be able to make these big time donations that really move the needle. And you know, and I think what Clemson and Carolina are going to have to really do is they're going to have to be real dogs about making sure that life cycle from the time my daughter walked across the stage over there in Little John and got her ring till her progressing through her career of, How do you make sure you're at the front of the line of, you know, whenever she is thinking about what is she donating to, and we're going to have to just increase those bases of people that are doing that. And then as people get businesses and other things, how do you stay in front of those people where they're always thinking about, all right, well, that check's going to Clemson. That check's going to Carolina.
Well, the level one and two have to make decisions, and level one and two need to see a return on their investment. Level one and two, it's not an endless supply.
Yeah.
That level one and two, you've got to, you know, you're going to keep asking the same people over and over and over. And if you have success, it's a lot easier to ask. But like, yeah, if you're at NC State right now, like, how do you ask for more money for Dave Doran? Like, I'm going to be a multimillionaire at NC State. Like, at some point in time, I've got some fatigue, man. But
well, and,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and you're right. And it is, you know, how quickly fans forget. You take Clemson, perfect example. So we're, you know, we were over, I think it was a Syracuse game. It's not the worst game you're going to bring people in to try to get them money last
yeah,
year.
Right.
And we were in those, they took us out, we were in that little hospitality, the little rock suites, which are awesome little things they did. And we're talking to some of the guys there from Clemson, and they were just like, you know, man, and I said, look, man, I said, my daughter graduated here. We're going to support you guys. You know, we got X amount we can support you with, but there's a lot of people coming in. And that's the thing. You got to get the longevity. You got to get those people that are, hey, you always hear these people on the radio. You always hear these people on the roar. You always see these people doing stuff with Clemson Athletics. You always, and they become, you know, and I think that's where what you're hoping is the return on investment is from the loyalty of, okay, yeah, I heard his business on supporting Clemson Athletics. I'm a Clemson fan. I'm gonna buy a pair of boots from them, or I'm gonna buy whatever it is. I'm on the guy, the last one you were talking about. I'm gonna get my water damage done by then, because they're supporting Clemson Athletics, and it's
you want to do it, and you feel good about doing it to a certain level, and then there's a certain level where you can't, and a certain level where you get some fatigue from it all,
and
I mean, it's a really difficult situation. Kevin, I appreciate your input, man, and
yes,
continue success for, and thanks for your support here, no doubt about that.
Yep, y'all have a good one, man.
You too. See, the Kevin's done well for himself and is able to do some things, and that's great, but he's not Anthony Wood, who A&M alumni who founded Roku. He's not Darren Woods, CEO of chairman and CEO of ExxonMobil, A&M grad. He's not Greg Garland, former chairman and CEO of Phillips 66, A&M grad. He's not Bruce Broussard, former CEO of Humana, A&M grad. Darren Cordanley, president and CEO of the Cigna Group, A&M grad. The guy that started Buc-ee's, Arch Beaver Applin, founder and CEO of Buc-ee's,
there's
A&M grad.
A beaver went to A&M?
Yes, should have gone to Oregon State.
Or Stanford.
Texas A&M says that, yeah. Cut down a tree. Texas A&M has more Fortune 100 corporate CEOs than any other university. How about that? And those are the people that are making the $15 million bonuses at year end, a $25 million bonus at the year end, and those people are worth several hundred million dollars, and they can afford to do it. And that should not, to be honest with you, that should not be the determining factor for who's good in athletics, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, if eight of those guys give a fifth of their year-end bonus, that's eight of the best players in the nation.
Yeah. Well, the whole idea, too, that a football player – I was listening to Walt yesterday, and Walt said Miami had – oh, no, LSU. LSU has $8 million invested in their quarterback room. And that's not including the coach that they're paying $1 million to, you know?
LSU's not far off.
Yeah. I think that at a certain point in time, that's just not sustainable. Nor should it be. It's just not how, as the SEC says, the SEC said it best. We're blurring the lines, and the SEC said it best. And I'm going to leave you with this. This is a great thought here, but when the SEC says that it creates significant competitive equity concerns. You see, my friend, the guy that I look up to so much, Jordan Peterson, talks about play. He's a psychologist, Canadian psychologist. He's a fascinating guy. He talks about play. And play is so important. And the way that play happens is that two people or two teams, they get together and they play each other. And two little five-year-old little boys, my 7-year-old son and his and a 6-year-old neighbor, they get together and they play. And they play football in the yard. And one thing you notice is that sometimes my son wins and sometimes the neighbor wins. And both of them, whoever is the more gifted athletic, understands that if I won all the time, then the other one wouldn't want to get together and play. And if you notice, when the kids divide up into basketball teams, the 3-on-3 in the neighborhood, then you don't have the 3 best players against 3 worst players. You could do it for a short amount of time, but we're trying to do the long play here. What is missing from college athletics is the long play. That you can get together and do it. You can dominate for a certain amount of time, but after a while, what's going to happen is if the 3 best kids ganged up on the 3 worst kids in the neighborhood, the 3 worst kids aren't going to show up and play anymore. There's a voluntary system in there where now 2 of the best players play with the worst player and the worst 2 middle players play with one of the other best players, and they kind of have a competitive game, and one team wins one time, one team wins every once in a while. You got to have it, and it might be 8 out of 10, but it can't be 10 out of 10, because eventually you get the volunteer of play goes out. And you see this even in what's crazy is, even in laboratory mice, the dominant mouse doesn't dominate all the time. Because if the dominant mouse does, the other mice don't play. Can we not have college athletics learn from laboratory rats? We want to have what the SEC calls create significant competitive equity concerns. What that means is nobody's going to volunteer to do it anymore. And NC State fans are going to keep giving them. Right now, we've got you hook on the hook right now. Hey, man, if you just give us this, if we just get this quarterback, if we just get this point guard, if we just get this guy, man, we can do it. Well, yeah, for a short amount of time. I'm in for the long play, man. And the long play is called sustainability. And what we're doing now is not sustainable. Final segment, you come back right after this. Doesn't take long to call a roll in this class. But I was listening to the radio coming in, and I have someone that is screwed up more than college football. I'll tell you about it in a minute.
I don't believe you. Go ahead.
I've got it. Welcome back. My great friends at Trail, TREHEO.com, 800-319-7006. What is a better building experience? What are they talking about when they say that? Well, when you call them, it's going to be one point person. You're going to notice the difference right when you call in. But it's not going to be an adversarial relationship. How many times has the builder and the architect got into it, and then it puts a client in a bad spot? Then you have change orders. Then you have delays. Then you have escalating costs. And you're over budget, and you're over time, and things are just bad. Doesn't have to be that way. A building experience can be one that's very positive. It can be easy, greasy, and it can be something that you'd enjoy. I had one person tell us that when Trail left, like it wasn't a good thing, because they're going to miss the Trail guys around their building. They're doing some renovation stuff and they just missed the guys. One of the all-time great Trail stories I shared one time on the show was they were renovating a church. We'll get this. This is who Trail is. They're renovating this church, right? And there was a tragic death of a young person. And they're having this funeral at this church. And the day, and they're working on the entrance right there. And the day that they had this thing, the day before, this big storm comes through, and there's mud, like red clay mud outside. Trail went in and fixed the whole entrance and fixed everything to make it nice for the one day of the funeral at their cost, didn't charge the church on this, and then tore it back up and started all over with it. But they did it and on time. They got it back on time and on budget, but they do it because, man, this awful situation with this. They didn't want, like, mud, red clay mud, and the funeral. Like, you know, they wanted it nice for them. And they did it that day and put it back, tore it up the next day kind of a thing. What a cool story. That's who they are. TREHEL.com, 800-319-7006.
Those are great stories. I mean, that's who they are. It's a human element. And caring about other people, even though it doesn't benefit you, comes at a cost to you. You know, it's the right thing to do.
Yep. In case you missed the first part of the show, one of the most fascinating things I saw, and I retweeted this, follow me on Twitter at Mickey Potter to find that out, that here's LSU, and all these guys aren't eligible yet, but here's LSU's basketball team for next year. Transfers from UCLA, two from UCLA, one from St. John's, who, by the way, was a two-way contract NBA player, a Kentucky transfer, a French professional, an Italian four-year professional, a Kansas State transfer, a Croatian professional, a Michigan State transfer, a Texas San Antonio transfer, and a Brazilian professional who played in Israel. Of their 11 guys, here are the ages when basketball season starts. And I'm going to do point, you know, even though it's 12 months, we're talking about, we're doing on a point system here. The starting age, I mean, the age of the guys when basketball season starts for LSU, 22.9, 23.3, 23.8, 22.9, 23.7, 22.5, 23.1, 20.1, 20.7, 23.0, and 24.0. Like, your average age is 23, basically 23 years old of your 11 guys. Like, you got a 24-year-old. Actually, you're going to have three 24-year-olds on your team. The only guys that are under 22 years old are two guys, one a Croatian, a four-year, I mean, a guy that played in Spain, and a Michigan State transfer. Texture on our Adams Covey text line says that the R.J. Luis being eligible is much more egregious than NFL players. NFL players at least could come back with the 5-for-5, but Lewis declared after his junior year in 2024 and 2025. It's a great point. Like, man, that's where we are. That's where we are. All right, I want to get to the 2 minute drill. Let me tell you about Brad Hughes first. 292-3001. Brad Hughes at allstate.com. Brad Hughes insurance.com. Better coverage, better rates, thanks to Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. We combined our homeowners and our auto owners, and we just made it better. And it was, we saved money, we got great coverage and great rates. I've had very few claims, but when we do it, just goes smooth. So see, maybe you're on a bank draft right now. See if it can help you out. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. Do we have the best music of the day for the 2 minute drill over there?
Yeah, I think you're going to love it.
All right. Yeah. Rod Stewart. Yes. And, you know, I ask my wife that all the time, and I don't get the right answer. If you want my body and you think I'm sexy, come on, let me know.
Not a lot of men can get away with saying that, especially dressed like Rod Stewart.
Yes, yes. I don't like – my wife would say, you don't want to know that answer, is what she would say to that. 2 minute drill, what do you have for me over there?
I'm late to it, but I'm just finding out now that Lenore Sellers, there's a report that came out last week, has no classes and one internship at a driving range.
I'm glad you said no classes. Year. I'm glad you say he has no class.
Yes. I'd love to hate him. I'm sure he has class.
No, he has, it's an internship. He's done all of his classwork. Now he's got an internship. And
that
happens.
How it should be.
Right.
Preparing for the real world.
That's right. That's right. All right. I have found someone who has screwed it up worse than college sports has screwed it up. You know how hard it is to screw it up worse than college sports has screwed it up right now?
You got to try pretty hard. A lot of effort.
It's extremely difficult. So I'm driving in this morning, and I'm hearing someone talk about it. And apparently – Meghan Markle is going back to England. That her and this Prince Harry character, he's the Duke of Sussex. She's the Duchess of Sussex.
Meghan Markle, American actress?
Yes. They are going back to England. Remember, they left England, right? And now they're going back.
They were in Canada.
Oh, they were in Canada. But now they're going back to England, supposedly. So let me say, talk about screwing it up. Meghan Markle, who played a princess in television or movies, what it might be, actually got to be the princess. The one thing that anybody wants to be. And she screwed that up. She talked bad about the queen, bad about the spread rumors about the queen's husband, accused him of some awful things, like from the outside. She didn't know. What the guy said, in Buckingham Palace, there is a outprint of her running out, making a hole in the wall, of her running out of the thing so fast because she didn't want to be in the building with him. You know how hard it is to screw up as a princess? Think about it. Name a movie, a princess movie, where the princess caused something by fault of her own and screwed up being a princess. A lot of things happened to the princess.
Getting in the wrong cab.
Well,
oh, there.
You got to try hard to screw up being royalty.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you can mess up occasionally, but you get second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth and ninth and tenth chances. This one just decided, you know what? I'm going to blow the whole royal family thing up. I'm going to blow the whole idea of the princess up. And what's interesting is she wanted to go back to be like a movie star and be famous but not royalty. And so in the end, what she told you was, and I love the way this guy said this morning, that she'd rather pretend to be a princess than be a princess. You can't. My little girl loves to be a princess. And if for some way, any way at all, she marries royalty, the advice I would give her is, this is as easy as it gets. You can't screw this up. But somehow, some way, Meghan Markle decided to screw it up. You know how hard it is. You got to go talk bad about people. You got to go spread rumors about people. You got to go make accusations about people. And she did something that's almost impossible. In this world today, we live in this, we've divided people into oppressor versus oppressed. Here's someone that became a princess, that was a multi-millionaire actress that became a princess, but somehow, some way, convinced us that she's oppressed. Do you know how hard that is?
I mean, Rapunzel was oppressed.
Rapunzel was oppressed, yes. Yes, but Rapunzel was she was, and then she wasn't, and then she was. You know how hard that is to do, to screw that up. It's hard to screw up college football. It's even harder to screw up being a part of royalty. The silver spoon, you decided, nah, I'll spit that out. Matter of fact, with that same mouth I spit it out of, I'll talk bad about the people who put me in this position. It's hard to do. Let me thank Dr. Milt Louder and Amplos.com. Just advice to all of the future princesses. If you ever get to be a princess, then don't screw it up.
Just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. Just take your crown and your royalty and all the benefits and don't screw that up. Will, great job, man. I hope you have a great rest of the week. Appreciate you the last couple of days. Up next, two of my favorite royalty people here, Sam and Faxon. Have a wonderful Tuesday. Most importantly, tomorrow, that's when we will see you right here on the radio.